AM 700, KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and in Scottsdale, Arizona. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for your better health. He joins us now from our studio at 9th and Gamble. Good morning, Dr. Kersey.
Good morning, David.
Looks like you're getting some sun there, my
friend.
Got a little
sunshine at the baseball game.
Well, fantastic. That means you're ready to go. You're full of vitamin D.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Kersey, where does chiropractic care begin as a starting point in helping to regulate our body's cells' response to, let's say, nutrients, stress, hormones, and even damage and trauma?
All right. So where does it start? I think it all starts with functioning of all the systems. So if we want to make sure all our systems working properly to deal with all the things you just said,
mm-hmm.
we have to make sure that regulation occurs at the nervous system first.
Okay.
So and when does it begin? I don't know, when you're born. And I think you should get adjusted right out of the womb and then checked on a regular basis, just like we check everything else in our bodies and check our, we go to the dentist, we go to this, we go to that, we put gas in our car every week, check up on things. But where does it begin? Has to begin with the nervous system, has to be regulated from the nervous system. So I think if we're clearing out the channels, like you just said, body needs no help, just no interference. So, that's what we need. Just remove that interference, allow everything to work properly, and coordinate all the systems properly. That's where it starts.
Can we call chiropractic a boost, an enhancement, or essential to a person's immune system?
Oh, I think. Let's think about that. So, if the immune system is a function of the nervous system, and the nervous system is working properly, the immune system should properly work. If it's not working properly, if there's something going on with the immune system, if there's too much outside influence, well, then that nervous system needs to be given a little boost, right? We give that adjustment,
mm-hmm.
get those flow channels clear. Yeah, I think it'll boost that immune system. I think that's a good way to put it.
Would immune cells be triggered by their response to chiropractic if chiropractic is introduced frequently?
Yes. So there is a physiological impact on when you give that adjustment. The interleukins are actually stimulated to create immune function, and there's pain cells, the nociceptors are decreased, and there's so much that goes on with, oh, it's just adjusting, cracking bones. It's not cracking. I mean, somebody said that to me in the clinic yesterday, oh, did he crack it? I'm like,
We
don't use that word. And I'm thinking, That was interesting, but it's so much more than that, just that adjustment. And when you put that adjustment in, the body just has this incredible response. So boost, stimulate, regulate, normalize is what I would say. I would say normalize, try to normalize that, adapt. So if that nervous system is checked on a regular basis, given that stimulus from the chiropractor, then the boost or the normalization is going
to
be there.
Dr. Kersey, what would be your plan as a chiropractor to assist an older person's immune system from avoiding more infectious diseases as their immune system starts to wane or becomes less effective?
Right. So we'll see the people leaning forward. Well, I got to look down because I don't want to fall. Well, all right, that's going to have an impact. That's going to have an impact on the nervous
right.
system. That's going to have the anterior weight bearing. That's not going to be good. When we get older, maybe we'll just go, just give me that Costco pizza. Well, we were in a hurry last night, you know, me and Cooper.
It was good, too.
It was good. Oh, man.
Yeah.
But,
I dabbed the grease off.
Not like Bianco's, right? But, so we want to make sure our nutrients are up to speed. We want to try to avoid the crappier foods. And we saw one guy, the only thing he had in his cart last night was pistachios. I'm like, well, it's not all bad, but, you know, we check out people's carts, you know, and we look and see what's going on. So you want to have those proper nutrients. You still want to exercise. I don't know what the excuse is. If you're 80 years old, you're not exercising, there's a problem.
Yeah.
You need to exercise every single day. The adjustment's going to help the immune system. It's going to help all the systems, of course, because it's the superior system, the supreme system. But when we talk for 28 years now, I've been saying, you've got to take your vitamin D. Vitamin D, super important. Get some vitamin D. I like the liquid vitamin D. That's what we have at the office. We give people the liquid vitamin D. You want your multivitamins. You want your proper nutrition. You want to eat, not just snack a couple times. You want to have some actual food, real food. Stay with the organic stuff if you can. All the things that we need to do are going to enhance your immune function later on. And the stress. You gotta decrease it. If you're older, you know, let's say you're 90 years old, mm-hmm. maybe the stress should be a little less at this point in your life.
Should be.
It's usually not. They still feel like they're stressed out. I'm busier than a retired guy. The stress levels and avoid the traumas, you know, and I think that's what we need to do for everybody. Well, when you get older, it's a little harder, right? You have a little bit more, well, I'm 80. I can eat this junk right here. No, stay up on yourself.
I think you'll find this interesting. Dr. Norman Lazarus, the author of the book, The Lazarus Strategy, says the number of people living with four or more diseases will nearly double between now and the year 2035. That's just 12 years away. The cause, he says, are habits.
Oh.
As a doctor of chiropractic, is a doctor of chiropractic really just a fighter in a match with people's habits? And how far will you go before you stop?
Wow. So that is pretty cool. I just read a new book on habit. I think I have like an hour or something to go. It was an audiobook. I thought it was going to be a couple hours. It's going to be like 12 hours somewhere. But it's a great book on the importance of habit and habit stacking. And I've been working on my habit stacking on it. And I haven't read Habit Stacking. There is a book called Habit Stacking. But I haven't read that yet. But I've been reading other books on habit. And the importance of that. Marketing is all about habits. And so that's part of the book. That was pretty cool. I didn't realize about that. But, the habits that they have now will lead into the future. So as chiropractors, we talk about habits. Even with your cell phone. Okay, your head's down. Here's the new habit. We're going to get our head up, and your phone's going to be held high. Yes. That's going to be your new habit. You're getting up in the morning. You're starting the exercise. Well, how's time? Well, let's get up 15 minutes early. Let's do a little 15-minute exercise in the morning before you get things going, or do your regular routine, and then put that on top of that. So we're going to give advice that's going to try to change your habits over time. Hopefully get in the habit of getting adjusted on a regular basis so your nervous system can handle the stresses of life and just increase all the good habits and sometimes decrease the bad habits. I was talking to he's a former baseball player.
Ooh.
And a very nice guy. And he was talking about how he just does that. What do I have to do to get better tomorrow than today? Which is what we're all shoot for, right?
Right.
How can I be better tomorrow than I am today? Well, how can I be better today than I was yesterday? And that's part of the success game of life, right? How do I be more successful today? Not just, I'm not talking financial, I'm talking, you know, successful in life as a person. How can I be a better me today, tomorrow than I am today? So I have to figure out what that one thing is, and then I do it, and I just continue to do it until it becomes habit. I'm like, well, that's kind of like habit.
There you go.
So we were talking about that, and it was pretty interesting. So everybody's in the same game. Chiropractor, baseball player, whatever it is, radio show host, legend,
40 years of practice.
Legendary Dave Stroh. Those things add up. So we are trying to make habit changes for people. And that's not dumb. I mean, I'm reading all the time, doing different things.
Yes.
How does that work? Where is the benefit of this or that? And so I'm doing things for me to help my patients, and I want them to be a more successful person than they are today. So that's what we do. We try to change habits.
Do you have to be tough on patients, as tough as you can be, on getting them to make changes in their personal behavior, which ultimately will result in good health and better wellness?
Yeah.
Is that tough?
I'm thinking of one guy yesterday. Dr. Foley and I were talking, and he said, is that the most unhealthy belly you've ever seen in your life, or what? And, I mean, the guy's in good shape, and then all of a sudden he has this belly that's just, I mean, it's just not good. I mean,
right.
There's a problem with this guy that is just, it's just ungood, right? So we know that that's the main problem. He's there because he was in a car accident, but, I mean, he's got this unhealthy belly shape that is just not normal. It's not just a belly. This is a weird one. And we have to go at that at a different angle than, hey man, you gotta lose that gut.
Right.
Because his habits are not making that happen. So we have to get in there and change his habits and actually have a talk with him. But it is hard because he's not going to change overnight. And it's been years since he's developed that. And, I mean, if you saw him from the back, from the side, it would be all good. But then all of a sudden there's this mess in front of him. So we have to try to figure out how to deal with him. And we talked about exercise over the last couple of weeks. And we talked about diet. We talked about, you know, stretching. After the injury, here's what we have to do to get you better. So then we have to work gently into there and say, all right, what else can we do? And hopefully change his habits where he can actually be healthier so he can live longer.
Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health reviewed 34 years of data from 78,000 women and 27 years' worth from 44,000 men and found five habits that could prolong a person's life by up to 10 years or more. Do you ever think that you have some big secret to life and longevity when you say the words healthy lifestyle over and over and over and over again?
I wish I had some secrets. What are the five? Do they say the five tips?
I'm reviewing.
Oh, okay. So, I found that for the shoulder, hanging is really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hanging is really good. So I put up a pull-up bar in my office. My office is upstairs from the clinic downstairs. It's just a small upstairs. And I put a big pull-up bar up there. So every time I go up the stairs or down the stairs, I hang. I don't pass the pull-up bar without at least hanging or doing a pull-up or a leg lift or something. So my habit is, every time I go up the stairs, I don't ever go past the bar without hanging.
Mm-hmm.
So I added to that. Exercise, great habit. Eating well, great habit. I ate less over the last dozen years than I usually have because I did that ideal protein and I got into the habit. So now I'm changing my habit to eating more, increasing my protein, decreasing the crapola, which I don't eat a lot of, but my habit has changed that way. Exercise, sleep, great habit. To get started on that, reading, I think is a big huge habit that you need to get into to get that mind stimulated.
Absolutely.
And do that. What else? I don't know. The good thoughts, habit of decreased negativity and just saying no to bad stuff. I can't wait for the five.
Should society be pushing itself more to extend life instead of this fatalistic, I'm going to die soon?
Oh, my goodness. It is. I have patients like that. That it's like, my father-in-law said, he said, I don't even buy green bananas. It was just a joke, just marking time to the grave. And it's just, he's being facetious, but, it's just funny that he says those kind of things because he's living life and he's out there golfing and fishing and doing all the things he wants to do and traveling. But we have those patients where, I'm getting old, I'm doing this. And the negative aspect of that, why would you do that? I mean, let's get you out and do this. We have one lady, bad shoulder, told her we could help her with her shoulder. She didn't listen. She went for the surgery route, didn't work, still can't bowl. She just wanted to bowl. And then we started adjusting her again. She came back in the clinic. Guess what?
She bowled.
She can bowl again.
Great.
So now she can bowl. And we got her doing those things because I said, there's no reason to give up what you love.
Right.
This is what you love to do. Why would we give that up? Let's work on a better tomorrow. Let's be happier today than we are yesterday. And we worked on that and we got her going.
You can almost see the end. As the health declines, so do the passions. And as they all decline, you diminish.
Yeah. It's like, I can't do that anymore. I'm just going to sit in my chair. Well, let's do that. Let's do something. And people say, should I go to the gym? Yeah, you should go to the gym.
Sure.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll hurt myself. Great, I'm right here for you. And then we'll figure out what you're doing wrong in the gym so we can help you to do that better. It's a shame, that attitude of give up. Don't ever give up.
We are going to get old. Okay, we know that.
Nuh-uh.
The decision of how we age, though, is in our hands. How are you personally approaching this process that will determine whether you live an active, productive, and independent older age?
Whew. Well, I'm still working out every day.
Yep.
And we didn't go yesterday. Cooper and I had a plan to go in the morning, and that didn't work because we got home too late Sunday night from the airplane. Then we got yesterday. He was just exhausted, so we didn't go last night. But we're going to go this morning after the show. And exercise, still doing it. Eating. We went to Costco yesterday after work, and we got our food for the next few days because if it's not at Costco, I don't need it. And then and he said, this looks good. I said, no, it's not, man. Put it back. Put it back, man. He's like, God, cheese balls. I'm like, no. And he eats a great diet. And so you make those decisions as you're walking through. Do I need this or do I not need this? And is this going to benefit my life? And how does it benefit me? And think about it. Don't just put it in your cart. Think about it. The avocados were a good decision. The steak was a good decision. Cheese balls, not so much. There was this other little thing. They looked real good. There was this oat-filled jelly thing. And he said, don't they look good? I said, yeah, they look great. Put them back. We don't need them. It's not going to be good. So, just attitude change over the last couple of years. My stress levels increased over the last couple of years. It was not a fun couple of years. And I have to continue to work towards that, decreasing the negative aspect of that part of my life, and move forward and think happier thoughts about how things are going to go and what the bigger plan is. And that is a daily grind to try to figure out, okay, got to stay positive, got to look at this part of life and say, this is where I need to go. Can't live there. I can remember all that stuff, but I can't just dwell on that. And dwelling is a big thing.
Are you concerned about the stress that you've ingested over the last year or two, that it's impacted your health?
Yeah, but it didn't kill me, so I think it's all right. So,
do you ever have to remind yourself, Dr. Kirby, that it's what you do every day that ultimately seals your fate at the end of life?
Yeah, and you never know.
No.
I could walk out there and get hit by a bus. Hopefully not. Maybe that would be cool. Boom! Oh, that was cool. I think there's a time for all of us, but I'm going to do the best thing I can to get to that point. You know, my dad died at 87 years old. He was perfectly healthy 2 months before he died. We won't go into why I think he died.
Right.
But it was interesting because he's playing hardball. He's, baseball. We call it hardball because, the old men play softball, right?
Right.
Now, you have to say hardball. So he was playing baseball until his last year of life, and he was living life. He didn't say, well, I'm getting old, can't play baseball. He just kept living, and things he did every day were keeping him going, and that's where I want to live too,
You told us of your dad's story at the end. What do you think your story will be in those final moments?
So I use the joke. I want to go like my grandfather in his sleep, not like the passengers in his car yelling and screaming.
I know that joke.
Yeah, that's a good joke. That's a good one. But I don't know. I would like to wear out, I don't want to go out from disease. I want to wear out, but I don't want to go out through a disease process. I want to wear out because things just didn't work anymore because they were run hard. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, but I don't know what the fate is.
Your car ran out of oil.
I do have this recurrent dream where I go over a cliff and I go straight down, and then you know how like you go over roller coasters. I have that dream that I'm going off a bridge. There's no end to the bridge. I had it since I was a kid. Every once in a while I have this dream where I go, boo! But yeah, it's
That's interesting. We're going to be following that.
Maybe I'll go to that one.
Yeah. Do the longevity benefits of chiropractic begin the moment it's introduced into and on the human body?
I believe one adjustment is more beneficial than no adjustment ever, and I think that once you get adjusted, once you get those things stimulated, we had a couple of new guys yesterday, young food workers, we call them that, chefs, if you will,
yes.
and worked together. Two guys came in, and I'll tell you what, they were not in pain. They just wanted to be better because they heard of this thing called chiropractic from their coworkers.
Just heard of it.
They were doing better and better, and then they said, well, let's do this. So they came in, and amazing how, that one adjustment. I didn't realize I had these problems. I didn't realize the lights weren't on as bright as they could be. And their life is going to be better. If they come back, great, and they'll get better and better. If they don't, I think they benefited from that one adjustment. And, of course, the plan is to get both the plans were a little bit different because they just had different things going on. But I set forth the plan over recommendations over the last 28 years of seeing patients. Here's what I think you need. Okay, good. This is when I think you need this. From the experience, from the recommendations, from the exam findings, from everything we have, this is my recommendation. Now, if they follow that, they'll be a little bit better. If they trust the program and trust the process, they'll be great. If not, I still think they benefit from one. So yes. So the answer is, one adjustment is going to stimulate that body to do what it can do.
Are you trained as a chiropractor in the recognition of diagnostic characteristics of various diseases?
Yeah. So we're trained on all that stuff, and so we are primary health care providers. You can come to us with anything. We'll say, oh, this is what it is,
yes,
and this is what you need to do. And if it doesn't fit our realm, then we send you out to other diagnostic tests if need be. But we want to know what we see on that film. So if I'm referring to an MRI, I'm going to say, okay, this is why we're referring you to an MRI. This is what I think is going on with that, and this is going to be our new program once we get that information, and we're doing that because we're changing programs. Or if you come in, hey, we had this one guy, he was fantastic. I've been to chiropractor. I don't need this. I don't need that. I've been to medical. I said, well, all right, I think I'm going to take an X-ray. And he said, well, I don't need an X-ray. I said, no, there's something something's not right, man. I got to take that X-ray.
Yeah.
I took that X-ray, and I said, that's right. I said, how long you had to cough, Dan? My medical doctor says fine. Turned out he had lung cancer,
and he
didn't live that much longer. But we got him to the right people. So
yes.
I mean, there are, and that one was hit home because he was a good dude, man. But there's a lot of people that come in with certain things. We have to think, what is going on here? Okay, and then we get it out to the right people if we need to. But yeah, you can come to us for anything.
Historically, treatment plans for patients with a severe disease, like you just mentioned, were focused on the disease. As a chiropractor, what do you focus on when the person in front of you is obviously battling with the effects of their diagnosis?
So we can help a lot of people through their diagnosis and their condition by helping them with the pains and the problems they're dealing with the other things and hopefully my big goal, Dave, is just to boost that nervous system to let them adapt to their environment they're in and the disease process going on, and hopefully that body will do everything it can to fight. So it's just a bigger fight. So I just don't want to get to quitting there.
Chiropractic has been called the vitalistic approach for patients with disease.
Yeah.
How do you define the term vitalistic?
Well,
because we don't hear that term very often.
Well, the vitalism of the body, the natural immune, the body's overall functioning, the way it's just you have to say vitalistic versus mechanistic. So it's not just bone out of place, boom. You have to have that life force behind it, the vitalism, the life force, the innate intelligence, the energy that comes with that. Not just, this is your symptom, this is the problem, let's just drug it. It has to do with the life within inside the body, that life force.
And where does that life force originate from?
See, where is it?
Is that the big mystery of life?
Yeah, is it the brain? Is it the spinal cord?
Is it the heart?
Is it the heart? Is it over the system? Is it around that? Where is it? Is it
our core?
Is it your soul? Who? Is it the mental realm versus the physical realm? And, we talk about Deepak, the stealer of all things chiropractic.
Deepak Chopra.
Deepak Chopra. He talks about the space between the thought and the physical and in a different realm. Oh, we called it the mental realm 128 years ago versus the physical realm. And there is that. Where is innate? Where is it? Is it in the nervous system, over the nervous system, through the nervous system? Where is it? And it's our being. So when we die, we no longer have that other realm, wherever it may lie, heart, lungs, head, brain, wherever, big toe, wherever that innate is, it's there. That life force is throughout the body, around the body. And people talk about auras. Oh, he has a good aura. What does that mean? What are you seeing? So it's a crazy question.
It is.
And is it out there? No. I mean, you can say that chiropractic. Oh, you guys believe in this mental realm and a life force. Well, tell me it's not true, because now every guru out there is talking about the same thing. And well, our friend Tony Robbins, he just wrote the book, Life Force. What does that mean? There's no chiropractic in there. It's all medical. It's all stem cell and this and that. It's everything else but chiropractic, but it's all based on what we have been teaching people for 128 years. So it's not. It's so chiropractic and the way we think about things and the vitalistic approach to health versus the chemical and the everything, it's so today, it's unbelievable, but yet it's still chiropractic. So if it wasn't chiropractic, if we called what we do today something other than chiropractic, it would be like, oh, this new thing. But yeah.
When you see a patient, are you seeing a whole person or a person who has a disease in certain parts of their body?
I never see the disease. I never see the low back pain. I never see the headache. I see the person that's dealing with stresses, and we get to the cause of what is causing that problem, remove the cause, and help that patient with that problem. I went down to Iowa, and I spoke on diagnosis, a few months ago. I flew down there for a day just to speak on diagnosis and the reason behind the word diagnosis. And who wants the diagnosis? The patient went, oh, I was diagnosed with this. Okay, so now that diagnosis has you. We can have a diagnosis as long as it doesn't have us. Oh, I have scoliosis. What does that mean? Okay, I have a curvature in my spine. Does that mean you're limited now for the rest of your life. You have scoliosis.
I mean, I do.
Yeah, well, you're getting along just fine. I have the ADD. Good. That's good. You get more stuff done with the ADD. So let's work with the overall person, and we always work with the whole person. Oh, it's a holistic approach. Well, you call it whatever you want, holistic, vitalistic. It is us taking care of patients and that person coming in and knowing what their life is about, knowing what their family is about, knowing what their job is about, knowing what they're dealing with, all the stresses, and helping that person have a better day and a better life tomorrow. And, yes, we're going to use the adjustment as removing the cause of that interference that may be caused from one of those stresses, thoughts, traumas, and toxins, and those three things that are causing the subluxation. That's why they're in our office, and everything we do is based on the stresses of the body, and that's kind of what we do.
Should people consider chiropractic a rehabilitative approach to healing from disease?
There's different phases of chiropractic care, and when people come to us, they usually come up to us with a problem, and we call that the corrective stage. And then there is a rehabilitative stage where we're getting that momentum built up from years of disease or dis-ease and all the stuff that they've been dealing with, all the stresses of the body. So we're rehabilitating them, and then we'll try to go, if with the healthier patient, we'll try to get them into more of a maintenance or a wellness schedule where they're making sure they're maintaining their health and still benefiting and maybe still some correction along the way. But there are stages to chiropractic care. So when you come into our office with a disease process, are we going to just put you in the rehabilitative phase? No, we're going to try to fix what's going on first, maybe why you had that problem, and we're not going to treat your disease.
Right.
So we're not treating anything, but we are going to try to help that body process.
Why is the human spine such a marvel to behold?
Wow.
And you've seen one.
I've seen one. The spine is pretty cool because it will compensate, but it's all... We talk about that spine. I still am a marvel at why we look at the spine so much. We think, oh, that spine. And we look at the misalignment of the bones, and we put that. But it's misalignment putting pressure on the nerve, right? So the nervous system is the real marvel underneath. And the spine is just that house. It's like the shell of a crab or a lobster, right?
Right.
So we're getting to that spine to remove the cause of the problem, which is when you misalign that bone, put pressure on the nerve. But why is the bone misaligned? Why are the muscles tightening up? Well, there's pressure on the nerve. Well, why is the compensation of the body didn't work into a scoliosis? Well, because there's pressure on the nerve. So it's all compensation. It's adaptation. So we're getting to the spine. We're adjusting the spine to get the pressure off the nerves, which is the major system, which is where the problem is.
So is our health and wellness determined by the nervous system or the spine?
Nervous system,
100%. Okay, all right.
I'm going to go with nervous system.
Are all our healing and regulation of our body's functions controlled by the nervous system?
All of them.
And must the nervous system work in conjunction with the spine?
Yeah, all of them. And then there's, even when you misalign the spine a little bit, we talk about proprioceptive fibers yesterday.
Yes, we were.
We were talking about losing the leg and all this other stuff. So that proprioceptive, little misalignment of the bone, it does something to the nervous system. Why? Well, that's that regulation, so the adaptation. So the spine has to be working properly. It has to have proper motion of the spine, proper alignment of the spine, so that nervous system can do its job.
Dr. Kruse, is chiropractic designed to make you instantly feel better, or is it designed to make you instantly heal better?
Oh, it's designed to make you heal better, and it is. We'll see instant recovery. We'll
mm-hmm.
see. Somebody asked about their kid, because the kid has leg pain. We call them growing pains. I don't.
What do you call them?
I call them subluxations, because when a little kid has growing pains, there's a problem. It's not painful to grow up. Sometimes it is, Dave.
In my house, it was.
But you shouldn't have leg pain. You shouldn't. Oh, he's got growing pains. That's a BS diagnosis from you not removing the subluxation that they had to cause the leg pain. And we adjust the kid, and all of a sudden, they don't have any leg pain anymore. And you ask the parent a year later, where have that kid I adjusted last year with the leg pain? Oh, yeah, that went away. Okay. No big deal. So, but that's growing pain. So we saw a little kid. We were talking about that yesterday. But how often do they need to come back? Well, they'll heal faster and completely and very quickly. The kids, because they don't have a bunch of momentum built up. So we saw a little guy yesterday. I think he's 5, and he was pretty cool. But it's designed. It is designed. That's a great word. So we're going to promote healing. After you leave the office. But sometimes when you get adjusted, you'll feel great right away.
What does this phrase mean to you? The power that made the body heal.
Wow, isn't that cool? So who made the body? These two cells came together and they divided with mitosis and meiosis and all this other stuff, and then they all of a sudden they formed into this being. We start with the notochord, which becomes the nervous system, and then it developed into something else. Well, what did that? Did we have to tell it what to do? Did we have to tell it to do this and do that and this cell go here? No, that was that power within, that innate intelligence that came in and made those things happen. And if you don't think there's another power somewhere that can do that, we can't reproduce that. So that intelligence that made us into who we are today also adapts us to our environment every second of the day. It also heals us when we're broken or have a disease or when an opportunistic organism comes in and tries to take over. That is the power that made the body. It's the same power that heals the body. It's the same power that regulates the body. It's the same power that keeps us in existence all the time.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. Our next conversation with Dr. Kersey continues right after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, why is chiropractic care a different path to longevity?
It's the only path to longevity, David. Why is it a different path? Well, we live in a medical world, so it's a different path because it's the other path, right? We have two paths. We can go on the symptom path. Mm-hmm. We can go down here and say, well, here's my symptom. Here's what I'm going to do for it. Here's my drug. Here's my avoidance. Here's my this. Here's my brace. Here's my rub for this. Or we go down to the cause path where, okay, this is a problem. This is the cause. This is the effect. This is the cause. This is the effect. Let's get to the cause. Let's get to the cause. Let's make better choices, better choices, better choices, better choices. And I think that it is a different path. Now, I'm not saying on the other side of the road there that other path doesn't have some of those same capabilities. I'm just saying this has been our road. This is what we do. And we're trying to get you to a healthier life, a longer life, adding more life to your years, more years to your life, mm-hmm. without drugs, without surgery, doing it the natural approach, letting your body heal itself, the power to make the body heals the body. I mean, doing it the natural way versus an unnatural way. And I think that's the other path, right? Well, I can go to my nutritionist, I can go to my naturopath, I can do all that. That's true. You can do all those things. You can more than what we work with all those people together. You have a naturopath, you have a medical doctor, you have a massage therapist, you have a physical therapist, you have a gym trainer, you have whatever you have, great. You need to have a chiropractor on your team as well. You need to make sure that you're going through that path with a properly working nervous system so you can be the person you want to be and live a longer, healthier life. I just think that's the way it should be.
With society's quest for health and wellness, are you ever taken back by its sometimes refusal or even unawareness that chiropractic will and can help it acquire the good health and wellness that it deserves?
It's amazing that if you're trying to help somebody, and if you want the best for that person, no matter what profession you're in, whether it's your mattress store or your financial advisor, why wouldn't you try to say, are you getting some chiropractic care too to make sure everything is? I mean, it just seems like it would be part of the game, right? It just seems like it would be part of the overall picture to get you to a healthier world, a better place to have that. Make sure your nervous system is working properly, because we know that's the main system.
Yes.
We don't have that working properly. Well, we talk about the last couple of years with a high state of stress, and we know that everybody's living in this fear of state with this high sympathetic state. And we know that chiropractic decreases the sympathetic state and increases the parasympathetics over the sympathetic. Why wouldn't we say, well, let's go to the chiropractor to make sure our stress is decreased? Well, why would we live a life with the lights on a little bit brighter every day in our mind? Why wouldn't we want to get rid of the brain fog? Why wouldn't we want to get rid of the growing pains? Why wouldn't we? Well, it just doesn't work like that.
Can chiropractic care slow down the aging of our spines? I'm just asking for a friend who's 66.
Yes, well, David, we know that we've seen. Now, you can read research all day long. You mm-hmm. can say, oh, well, it seems to be if you have a chiropractor and you get adjusted, you might have a decrease in degenerative disc disease or degenerative joint disease. We've seen it. We've seen people that have been adjusted for almost 30 years now, and you take a picture of their spine, and you're like, wow. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
You don't have any degeneration versus somebody who didn't have chiropractic care that has the generation same age. And you think, what's the difference here? This person took care of their spine and their nervous system. This one didn't. And now they're coming to me when they're 66 years old with degenerative disc disease, spinal canal stenosis, all these other diabetes, heart conditions. These are the choices I made. This is what I'm dealing with. I need you to fix me right now because I have sciatica. Well, no kidding. So there's some choices we've got to this point, and it's funny because it's not even funny. It makes me laugh because I'm like, ha, now I got work to do. It's all about the choices, right? And you can have chiropractic care. Can you have a healthier spine, slow down spinal decay? Absolutely.
You are a spry, what, 55?
And that, Dave, I'm only going to be 54 this year.
Okay, what does healthy aging look like to you as a spry 54-year-old and a chiropractic professional?
I think this is, you don't have Dunlap disease when your belly Dunlaps over your belt, and you don't have degeneration throughout your entire spine. You're able to go to the gym. You're able to go do, we just went whitewater rafting. We did class 5 whitewater rafting a couple weeks ago. That's fun stuff. We should be able to do those things. We should be able to think clearly, sleep throughout the night without having to get, even, well, I'm older now, I'm 50 years old, I get up to go to the bathroom, 3 or 4 times a night. Why? Why do you do that? I don't do that. I don't get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom. There's no need for that. And that's just not normal. Stay in bed. And that means prostate's not functioning, right? Why is it? Why is your bladder impacted? Is it your nervous system? What is causing you to get up? What is the cause of that? There has to be a cause.
Yes.
And so we think about healthy aging, and we want to live just like when we were 25. We want to just do the same things we did then that we're doing now.
Absolutely. Is it a waste of time and effort if chiropractic is not a long-term effort with regular intervention to stay the course health-wise?
It would be better for you if you maintained your chiropractic adjustments at least on a monthly basis to make sure your nervous system is working properly, if not every couple weeks. Would it benefit you to have one adjustment a year? Yep, better than none. And we've seen that. We've seen our yearly patients. We had a guy yesterday came in, and he was really interesting. He stood up and he says, this is where I feel balanced. And he looked down, and his one foot was below, like when he stood there, his one foot was like 6 inches behind his other foot. And he said, that's the way I'm functioning. And he would go back and he balanced, and he said, this is where I'm at. And he looked down again, and he was off again. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. So I said, nobody ever did that before in 28 years. So checked him out, balanced his pelvis, checked the sacrum, adjusted him, did everything he needed to do. I stood up and brought him up, and I said, and we adjusted his atlas, and stood him up, and he says, okay, let me see. He looked down, he goes, perfectly level. And he did it again and again. He's like, this will work. And I said, okay. He said, all right, I'll see you in a few months. I'm going fishing. And that was it. So he left knowing what he had wrong, and he came in, and it was super cool. I thought, that was a great experience for me. That made my day better. Now I'm going to use that. It's going to be the new Kersey test, but we're going to test people. Get in the right position, close your eyes, and then look down at your feet and see where you are. It was really wild.
During what stage in life can the first subluxation occur, and does that singular first subluxation have an effect that could be far-reaching?
Birth.
Okay.
Birth.
There we go.
And then what we see is acute torticollis with the kids with their heads over on one side. That'll actually make the eyes change. You ever look at somebody and say, why is your one eye higher than the other and your head tilts? That's because adaptation, like a halibut, how the eyes change on the one side, just the same thing. You'll have that unleveling. We'll see pelvic unleveling. I believe scoliosis comes from a subluxation at a young age because if it's not correct, then it compensates. Maybe there's a spinal anomaly in the lower lumbar or upper cervical, wherever that is. But if that's addressed early on, why would we have scoliosis if that's corrected at a younger age? There's all kinds of stuff going on, but it can always start at birth. That's why my kids were adjusted within 10 minutes old, checked within 10 minutes old, and then they've been adjusted every 2 weeks. They used to be adjusted every week, at least once a week, but now I go down to Arizona every other week. Mm-hmm. And people are like, why are you always going to Arizona? Because I'm never going to let my kids, as long as I can help it, go 2 weeks without an adjustment.
Sure.
Ever. If I can help it.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. Our next conversation with the good doctor continues after this. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, B.J. Palmer, one of the founders or co-founders of chiropractic, is quoted as saying, one cause, one cure. And when you read his research, as far as he was concerned, subluxation was the cause of all sickness and disease. What are your thoughts on one cause and one cure?
Well, the cause and cure thing has been a topic of conversation in the philosophical world of chiropractic, of course, going through the philosophy program at Palmer, getting our Legion of Chiropractic Philosophers, and then I have a diplomat in the chiropractic philosophical standards, and we talk about that. Is the one cause a subluxation? Is the one cure the adjustment? Or is adaptation or lack of adaptation the cause and adaptation the cure? So was he talking about the actual adjustment and the subluxation, or was he talking about the overall, the one cause of everything is loss of adaptation? If you fail to adapt, you die, right? Mm-hmm. And the cure is adapting to what's going on, adapting to those stresses. So there's that. Do I think that the subluxation is the cause of loss of adaptation? Yeah, I do. And I think that the adjustment is the reason that we can remove the cause of lack of adaptation and go that way. So the one cause, one cure. I have a book called One Cause, One Cure.
What is the difference between treating the effect and adjusting the cause?
Oh, treating the effect. You're looking at the symptoms, right? Oh, I have a headache. Here, take this Tylenol, it'll go away. Here, I have a knee pain. Let's take an Advil, and that'll go away. Oh, why don't we not do that? Why don't we figure out why your knee is not tracking properly, get into proper alignment, and then you get to the cause of that, so then it won't hurt anymore. Why don't we remove that subluxation of your atlas that's causing your headache, causing your neck pain, causing your upper back pain, causing your hand pain, causing all those problems? Why don't we remove that cause of that problem and get to the cause of it, remove it, and then all those little symptoms will go away. So it's more symptom-based versus cause-based. And as chiropractors, we're symptom-sensitive. Yeah. Oh, I have pain. Okay, great. We're sensitive to that, and we'll deal with that, and we'll correct that, and then we'll teach you why it's happening.
In our last minute, what is the state of chiropractic in the 21st century?
I think, 20 years ago, we said, it's a good time to be a chiropractor. And then we said, it's a great time to be a chiropractor. And then through the pandemic, we said, it's a great time to be a chiropractor. It's always a great time to be a chiropractor, and chiropractic is always thriving because people have nervous systems. And if you have a nervous system and it's not checked properly, well, that's a shame, because we can get that nervous system functioning better than it was yesterday. And I know that chiropractic is in a great state, and we're only going to go forward. And the more we concentrate on the subluxation, the more we get focused on what we really do, the better off our professional will be.
Are you ever surprised by the number of chiropractors that are here in Anchorage and seem to be proliferating
in
offices all over town?
When I looked at different places around the country when we first started chiropractic, I'd be like, oh, this town has a chiropractor. I don't care if your town has 1,000 chiropractors. Do what you do and take care of the people that want to come see you, because we're all a little bit different, and it doesn't matter how many chiropractors, there's never enough.
Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us. And if you would like to live a life of better health, you can call Kersey Chiropractic at what number, my friend?
907-569-9355.
Is that also the same number for Scottsdale, Arizona?
Yes.
All right. Dr. Kersey will join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversations Unlimited. Have a good week, my friend. Get adjusted if you can.
I will.
I'm Dave Stroh. Have a good week.